Snack Bar Games Podcast. And welcome to a special edition of the Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 241. I'm Graham, and this time I am here with Jeff, Sean, and Andrew. Guys.
Guys.
Yo.
Yeah.
Hello.
We have a new system. It's out. It's like available for purchase.
It's called the Ouya.
It is.
It's called the Super Wii.
It's called the Neo Geo X Gold.
Yes, the new system.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, there's also the Wii U. That's pretty cool.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. I guess.
It should have totally been called the Super Wii.
Maybe not.
It should have been called anything but the Wii U, but, you know, that's irrelevant at this point.
There are probably worse names.
Like the Neo Geo X Gold.
They could have called it the Wii. Just that, the Wii.
That would be worse.
Yes, that would be
from
worse.
A product recognition standpoint.
Or they could take it from Apple and call it the new Wii.
New Super Wii Bros.
New Super Mario. What? No.
No.
Hey.
No.
Hey.
So, let's talk about stuff.
Man, the Wii U.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Where do we want to start?
I just want to start by saying, I really like this controller.
Okay.
Me too.
I'm holding it right now.
Which controller? The Pro controller?
Is that the one you're holding? Yes. The Pro controller is very nice. I actually should get one of those one of these days. I'll probably need it eventually, maybe. But
I need to get one because my Motion Plus is dead.
Oh, jeez.
I did get one, and it's great.
Cool.
It seems like a 360 controller made by Nintendo, which is fine because I like 360 controllers, and I like Nintendo making stuff. Usually.
Yep.
So, yes, thumbs
okay.
up.
And, yeah.
But seriously, though, the gamepad itself is really nice, I think. I you know, honestly, everyone says this thing is lighter than I expected it to be. So when I picked it up, I was like, this thing can't be that light. And I was like, oh, this is lighter than I expected it to be.
Right. But it's not too light. You know?
No, it's not. It's not super light.
Like, it's light, but it has the heft you need in a game controller. Like, I've always had issues with, like, for example, wired 360 controllers.
Or the PS3 controller. That feels like nothing.
The PS3 controller has a little weight to it. Like, okay. Yes, not a lot, but, like, yeah.
Well, then the classic controller for the Wii.
Yeah, that one you really shouldn't. Yeah.
Or the Pro. Either one.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
There's, like, nothing to those.
Yeah. And if you, you know, go back to, like, basically anything pre this generation, it was all like that, but you just didn't think about it. But, yeah. Anyway.
You're used to having a heavier controller now, and I can't imagine going back. Well, I do go back sometimes, but I can't imagine going back going forward, if that makes sense. It makes sense. Guys, listen, it makes sense.
Say it again 3 more times.
I can't imagine going back going forward.
Okay.
No, yeah, it's going back, going forward. Going forward, going back would be like time travel, I think.
Are you sure?
Which we haven't tried out since what, June? I don't think we should try that anytime soon.
I don't know, that worked out all right.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean we lost a couple writers in the paradox, but
that's what happened to them? I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Oh geez.
Time travel is
small dangerous. Small rift. Hmm. Okay. So yeah, the gamepad.
gamepad does not let you time travel, but it is really nice.
And it's almost as good as time travel. Like, I've found solace in the gamepad when I think about the fact that I can't time travel.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a comforting presence.
Yes, it's sitting now. It's sitting on the stand right next to me, and it's just watching me. So
yeah,
I feel.
Me too.
I feel calm.
Yeah. It's pretty great. Okay, so a couple issues I have with the gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
Fixable.
Yes.
Generally. One, The TV functionality is pretty cool when you need to turn on the TV. I have a sound system.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
I really just need it to be able to turn on both of those things, and I don't need any other functionality, but it'd be great if it could do that. The near field thing, I'd like for that to ever be useful. I'm just gonna call that right now.
Calling it for Skylanders 3.
I don't think so. I don't think they're gonna go.
Yeah, they'll probably keep
they'll keep using their functionality. But
yeah, no, I'd like to call it for the eShop.
What, like a gift card or something?
No, for swiping credit cards.
Ooh, well, if you think if they would do that, they would have done it by now.
Like, no, but how? Ever since the PSN hack, everyone has been so concerned with security. And what's more secure than having to use a physical card?
Okay.
The fact that the physical card can communicate over near-field communication, which means to someone walking by, you can steal your number.
Yep.
Yeah, that too. I think if you took that idea and use it for, like, gift cards, like if they have kind of Wii Points cards but for Wii U stuff.
Yeah.
Buy an eShop game at GameStop, bring the card home, swipe it over your pad, and it downloads.
Here's what they need to do. I'm going to say it, and you probably already thought about it.
I probably did. I just didn't say it yet.
Okay, what are you going to say?
You sure? You want me to go first?
Yep.
All right, I was going to say Pokemon.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It
seems like, you know what would be the funniest thing is if they didn't do that. Just to prove that they can restrain themselves. It's like, no, we don't want that free money. We're going to hold back just for now.
I think that will be a sign that the system is successful if 2 years from now we don't have a near-field communication Pokemon game.
True.
It's like a breaking case of emergency concept.
They already made it. It's just in a case somewhere.
Yep.
All right.
But I wonder, with any system that has gimmicks like this, there's going to be something that people just completely ignore. And I'm wondering what it's going to end up being. There are a lot of options. You forget that there's a stylus, I think. After Nintendo Land, I'm not sure anything's going to use a stylus ever.
I still use it sometimes if I have it in my hand, but that's not off.
I use it for menus sometimes.
Yeah.
I confess, I didn't know there was a stylus for the first half an hour I was using it.
I didn't realize there was until I was playing
Pikmin
Yoshi.
Adventure. Oh, okay, Yoshi, yeah. I didn't use it until Pikmin Adventure when it was like, you use the stylus. Oh, right.
Yeah, I used it for Yoshi. That was the first time I really used it. But
my finger won't be very accurate. It's a stylus. What stylus? There's a stylus in this thing?
It's kind of an awkward place. I think it'd be better on the side of the system.
It's usually one of those things where like either it will like hurt your hands or there's just too much tech over there. I don't know.
Well, the original 3DS had the stylus in that position.
Yeah.
Yes, but the big 3DS has it on the side.
Yes, and that's the better system.
Yep,
it's the one that Andrew wants.
Yes,
even though he hates handhelds.
No, that's exactly why I want it. Just because the stylus is on the side. I don't care if it's a bigger system or not.
It's no longer small enough to fit in your hand, so it's not a handheld anymore. So you love it.
Yeah, exactly. See,
yep. Now
it all makes sense.
Just make the handhelds gigantic.
Okay.
Love them.
How about this? I have an idea for you, Andrew.
Okay.
What if we take a handheld, like whatever, like a DS, right? We make it big. Okay.
I like this already.
Like really big.
Okay.
Okay. Then we should put, maybe a couple more buttons, right? Buttons are good? Yeah.
I love buttons.
Okay. Now we're just going to break off the top half of it.
Oh, that sounds painful.
Okay. But no, it's okay. So what we're going to do is we're just going to have this thing that you can plug into your TV, and that'll be the top half of your DS.
So the TV is the top half.
Yeah.
That's a gigantic top half of the DS.
Yeah, right? Okay. Yeah. So this is pretty cool. Now, you're not going to be able to play it outside of your house anymore, right?
Yeah, I don't mind, though.
Okay. Is that something you'd be interested in, that product?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, speaking of that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
When are we going to get a 3DS player?
Oh.
Never.
Or a DS player.
It would be such a good idea. That's why never.
We have a DS player. It's called the 3DS XL.
I have two screens. I have two screens here, and a touch screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Why can't it just play a 3DS game on it?
Well, on the big screen. That's a smart thing. So it probably won't happen. But yeah. At the very least, I hope third parties take like some of those interesting like DS, 3DS only designs.
Yeah.
Like what I think would work really well is if, say, there were a World Ends With You sequel on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like it would work.
That would be great.
How about an eShop HD re-release of Henry Hatsworth?
Bring it on.
Yeah.
That game's
okay.
Awesome.
Okay. How about Scribblenauts?
I don't know.
Okay.
only if it is less limited than it is now.
Okay.
Like unlimited, maybe?
Unlimited is more limited, or less limited than it is now, so yes.
It is now. Never mind.
Maybe we'll do something.
It's now beyond the limits.
They'll do something crazy, like put Nintendo characters in it.
Yeah. That sounds too crazy. It's like putting Nintendo costumes in like a Tekken game or something. I don't know.
It's like putting Nintendo characters in a 3-on-3 NBA basketball game. That'll never happen.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Instead of talking,
it's like
about
putting
these
Nintendo characters in mini games.
Let's take a break for just a second and make substantive comments about Wii U. Okay.
Well, all right. So I think the controller is really nice. I think there are definitely some drawbacks. I haven't tested the range on it yet. I should do that probably after we're done recording because I'm really curious about that. I just keep forgetting because I'm like, oh, I should just sit down and play games instead of messing with the tech.
It's not very far, maybe 20, 25
I've heard,
feet.
Yeah, 25, maybe 30 feet. Most. Depends on how thick your walls are if you're going to go outside the room it's set up in.
Yeah, mine handles my whole first floor, but if I try to go upstairs with it, then it does not like me. But it's enough.
It just doesn't like you anymore.
Mine will probably be the same, which is a shame. I would love to take it upstairs to bed with me and just play a game on the pad.
Well, you could. Yeah. You could. You just need to bring the system, too.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You could hook up the system. You don't even need a TV. You just got to use the pad.
That's true.
Unless you want to play Nintendo Land.
Unless you want to play Zombie U.
Unless you want to play...
Some games, but...
Actually, I think that's pretty much the entire list of things you can't play.
Yeah, but most... I think it's a great piece of technology. It's interesting. I mean, of course, everyone says that. I think they've been saying since they've unveiled the thing that the touchscreen should have been
capacitive.
Yes.
Instead of resistive. But yeah, I don't know, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't really care that much. But
yeah,
that would have made it more expensive.
I don't need pinch functionality in the thing. I don't need it. I'm sorry. I don't need that.
Sure.
Especially not when you have buttons.
Yeah. There are buttons on this thing.
It's this newfangled technology.
So, I don't know.
It makes it so you don't need multiple touch.
I don't know how many games each of you have played. I have played a tiny bit of way too many, and
so you just
my reviews will be forthcoming as soon as I can pull together coherent thoughts. But
were you buried in Wii U games when you got this thing? Were you buried in Wii U games when you got this thing? Because it seems like it, based on how many things you're reviewing.
Kind of. But anyway, so I don't know the breadth of experiences you guys have had, but to me it seems a lot of the launch titles don't really know what to do with the gamepad. Like Nintendo Land tech demos, like they make sense. New Shibari Brothers, the multiplayer mode's fine, but single player's just like, well, I don't know, maybe you can look at either screen, I don't know. But yeah, that's what a lot of games seem to do when they don't really know what to do with it. It's like, we're just going to put it on both screens all the time.
Yeah.
Mm.
I've played Zombie U, and it seems to be the only game I've seen that really uses the gamepad screen for anything other than just showing extra stuff that you would have had in a menu anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like, I mean, I haven't actually played it yet. I have a copy sitting here, but it seems like one of the better use cases for the touchscreen.
Yeah.
But that happens a lot on the DS and 3DS. We've always had that where it just shows, like,
you're right,
points or stats or whatever.
I mean, just, you know, back to a couple minutes ago, I was like, these game types, that can only be done on the DS. Then I realized, like, most of the games don't really use anything like that.
Yeah.
And most of the ideas I have for, like, things that make a lot of sense, like, I'm finishing up my Madden Wii review, and they have the, like, play calling on the screen, which is, like, a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
If you had two of them, which no games support yet.
No.
You know, like if you had two gamepads and could each do things in secret, like for example, if there were some sort of console Pokemon game where you could pick your like moves and stuff, I mean, much in the same functionality that they did with the DS and the Wii with like Pokemon Battle Revolution, even though that game was not fantastic, the setup for that worked out fine, where you could pick stuff.
Neat idea. I mean, do you think this time next year we'll have two gamepads or games that support two gamepads per system?
I think
this time next year,
yes.
Yeah. Even though apparently it cuts the frame rate in half.
Right. But what I'm noticing is basically if it's a game that isn't just straight up streaming exactly what you see on the screen, or doing that, look, instead of two-player split screen, one person gets the TV and one person gets the gamepad. Basically what they're doing is they're putting menu functions on there. And if my menu is at whatever, like 30 frames a second or even 15, like I do not care. It doesn't need to be important. Like whatever, five frames a second. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's a touchscreen interface.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. It's important to remember the gamepad isn't actually a tablet. It's not intelligent at all. It's just a screen that the console streams video to.
The Wii U pad.
Don't insult the pad.
The Wii U pad is plenty. It's got plenty of smarts.
No, it doesn't have. It doesn't have like a processor in it or anything.
I know.
Yeah.
The Wii U itself is doing all of the work.
Yeah.
So adding another pad is just going to...
It's not a dinosaur. It doesn't have two
pads.
It's
more demanding.
Don't listen to him, Wii U gamepad. He doesn't mean it, okay?
Yeah. Anyway. So far, I think the best use of the gamepad I've seen... I haven't played Zombie U, and I probably won't. You guys got that covered. But in Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed... It doesn't just send it to one or the other. I noticed a lot of what their effort was to do is try to keep things like smooth as possible. So it doesn't just use up the frame rate rendering things twice, but you can, when it's on the TV, it shows that like Mario Kart DS style, like here's the like places down here and then like an overhead map of what's going on. But if you just swipe down on the pad, it brings it there and like it pauses for just a second and you can hit it. And you can play it on there and then it stops rendering it on the top screen so that it can render it as well as possible on the gamepad. That part's really cool. And then of course,
use it. Go ahead.
And then of course, I being me, that game has five player, everywhere. It's not just you want to race with friends, play five player. You can play the entire campaign, all of the GPs, all of the challenges. You can go online and play 10 player, five of which are sitting in your living room, four player split screen and one player on the gamepad. And it works that you can tell a little bit that the frame rate cuts some. I mean, clearly it's not running, it may be even a locked 30 with five screens, but it does a pretty good job and it feels really smooth. So,
that's good. That sounds neat. I get the feeling you're gonna be playing through a lot of this game like that, or at least attempting to.
Yeah, well, I'm playing a lot of the challenges right now. But it's one of those things where there are a couple of the challenges. I know you also played Blur. There are a lot of the single player challenges that were just kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
But if you and four other people get to try it at the exact same time, the chances that one of you will make it, it's a lot like. Whatever, like, get to this, checkpoint in this amount of time, or just finish first in this race. Well, you are five of the 10 people in this race. So,
that's pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just a lot of fun, and, like, you know, it, anyway.
So if you want an easy way to clear those challenges, just get four friends and have a fun time.
Yeah, but you have to get, at least one of your friends has to be as good as you at the game, or else it's not help.
Okay.
But anyway, but I just like how they thought through using the gamepad. The worst ones are seriously, there are a couple games where it doesn't ever give you any options or anything on the screen and just straight up simulcasts. Like, I was playing a little bit of Warriors Orochi 3 and it just ignores the fact that there's a screen at all and just shows the same thing on both all the time. And it's not touch controlled or anything. Yep. It's just, there it is. It's working, I guess, but.
If you want to look at the tiny screen for a little while, here you go. But hey, don't forget, you got the big screen up there too. Hey, there's the tiny screen. Hey, big screen, tiny screen. Just switch every 10 minutes. Yeah.
In a game like that, I would expect it to at least.
Does that count as taking a break?
Yes, you're taking a break from the big screen to look at the tiny screen.
Okay, Nintendo, I'm taking a break. I just took a break from the TV, and now I'm sitting in this. Yeah, I didn't move or put down the controller or stop staring at a screen. I'm just staring at a different screen. That's
staring at a smaller screen.
Yeah, that's better for your eyes.
Definitely.
I think. Yeah.
Sorry.
Because it's closer.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So what were you saying, Jeff?
Yeah.
No, it was just in Orochi 3 that it would make a lot more sense for something like the map to show up on the gamepad.
Yes, it would. Maybe next time.
Yeah, Orochi 4.
Well, it'll definitely be
next
time.
We know it's coming.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? It might be Samurai Warriors next.
Samurai Warriors 25.
That seems to be the new Nintendo-only version of that game. Mm-hmm. But anyway. So before we get into some individual games, and I think we should, we can maybe talk about the system itself and how it probably needs a few more patches.
Here's the big thing. This came out shortly after the launch on Sunday. A lot of people started talking about it, and I just think it's worth mentioning because it is really dumb. The fact that your account is locked to your system is the stupidest thing. That surprised because it's Nintendo. I mean, right. they take one step forward, two steps back, and it's great that you have individual accounts. You can have up to 12 accounts on a system. You all share the game. So like if you're living with someone who also wants to play, they create their own account. You know, they don't have to work. They can also play the games that you bought. You know, things like that. That's cool. But if for whatever reason you wanted to play on someone else's system, but I don't know, I haven't played any games with any like achievements yet. I mean, I know like Scribblenauts has some, and I don't know which games have what because the system doesn't have like an overall achievement system. But let's say you wanted to earn some achievements or whatever game specific things you want to earn on someone else's system, you can't do that with your account. I mean, it's not that big of a deal because it's not a system wide thing, but stuff like that, and you know, I don't know. I think
eventually they will allow transfer, but I think they want. If at all possible, to avoid any of that, you know, game sharing sort of shenanigans that go on in other platforms. So, and since the whole thing about the account is that it ties your purchases to it, basically, that was the kind of the thing that it needed to happen. That I think they're probably not going to let you just sign in, which is sad. I wish you could just be I just want to sign in. I'm not authorizing purchases or anything. I just want this tied to my account. That
It's just a huge bummer.
Yeah.
It just seems like it would make a lot more sense to go more of the route that Apple does with authorized devices, where you can authorize and deauthorize hardware.
Yes.
Or even like Microsoft does. You can transfer license to whatever system you want, but that person can still use the stuff on any other systems they're on. No one else can, though.
Yeah, as long as...
So it's tied to the system and the person.
Yeah, as long as you're connected to Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well... You know, logic.
This is Nintendo, so
yeah.
I mean, the system itself is cool. The design is nice. It's just basically a bigger Wii.
Yeah.
The black is shiny. Got lots of fingerprints and dust on it already.
Yeah, me too. I also have dog hair on mine.
Please, please, Sony and Microsoft, I beg of you.
Matte
controllers. I don't care if the system is shiny. Matte controllers.
Yeah, I know. It's driving me crazy.
And also portables. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Matte portables. I actually, you know, traded in and got a matte PSP back in the day when they put out like the silver one. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, like anything you're holding in your hands is going to get fingerprints. It's not. Don't make it shiny.
It's not someone who says, man, I can't wait to see all the fingerprints I'm going to get in this thing.
Yeah. I thought Nintendo learned its lesson when it put out the 3DS XL. Because it's like, okay, this is Matt. It's great. It's correct. No, apparently not.
I understand why Iwata was wearing those gloves. I need to get myself a pair of those.
Yeah.
Very nice, fancy white
gloves. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just, you know, we need to be fancier people.
Yes, we need to be fancier. Make sure to wear a nice suit, too.
Yeah. Okay.
You never know when the camera will... Like, I was playing...
Right.
I guess we're going to jump into games now. So
yes.
Say about the system, but I was playing Nintendo Land. I was playing the... what was it? The Captain Falcon game. And all of a sudden, I after I do the tutorial, all of a sudden, I look up at the screen to look at the
tunnel,
and all of a sudden, my face is there. I'm like, oh, it's my big, dumb face. Why is that in this game? I don't understand.
Yep, I've heard that about you.
Yeah, yeah. But why? Why is that a thing?
I think it's like great. It's a multiplayer
thing.
I mean, admittedly, when I was first playing it, I had a bunch of friends over for a midnight release. We got back and then waited for 3 hours for the system update. So it was about 4 a.m. by the time we started playing Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
But hey, it was worth it. I did the system update first and I got like an awesome Nintendo Network ID, and that's how it goes. But it was like we had six people and we were playing these five-player games for the most part. And so one person would be able to watch, and I think that person had the most fun. they'd like be looking over the gamepad player's shoulder, and they'd be looking up at the screen and seeing like ridiculous grimace from people when things. I don't know. I
could see that. Yeah, I could see that being fun in the multiplayer stuff, but this is a single player game. It just makes no sense.
Well, it's a single player game for you, but other people could be sitting around while you play it.
Yes, but that would imply I'd want to play it ever again. That mini game specifically, not Nintendo Land in general.
Yeah,
I do like Nintendo Land. I just hate.
There is only one reason to play that again. The Adventure Train.
Oh yeah, that's right. I didn't get a chance to ride the train yet, which seems woo, awesome. Woo.
Yeah, and the Adventure Train, whenever you do that one, you have to beat the other person's time.
Hmm.
And whoever wins gets points. And everyone else gets to bet on who's going to win.
Ooh, okay, that sounds kind of neat then.
Okay.
Even though the game itself isn't that fun, it sounds
that gambling. One is more about gambling the makes everything doing better. It with people.
Yes. Gambling is always fun. I do it all the time, even when the game doesn't want me to. I just think, all right, who's going to win this Mario Kart race? Yep.
Yeah.
It gets crazy. You know,
lost a lot of possessions that way.
Oh, I wasn't wearing any pants after that.
Where before?
It's all I had left. I had to give them up. I don't know.
No, you don't. All right, let's talk some more about Nintendo Land. Let's do this. What is your favorite game in Nintendo Land? Let's go around.
Balloon Jeff. Trip Breeze! Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, Andrew, what is your favorite game?
I think about this one. It's Balloon Trip Breeze.
Okay.
Okay, now keep in mind, I haven't played any multiplayer yet because my friends are all busy doing real life things that don't involve playing video games.
You need better
I get it. Your friends are lame.
So yeah, my friends are lame. Friends. That
visit.
That is yes. Oh, I will.
I have. You can help me with these reviews. I have seven more of them to write.
All right. I'll play Black Ops 2 with you.
Okay. Actually, that'd be great. Yeah. Okay. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. I'll be right there.
Yeah, he's gonna need someone to actually shoot the enemies for him.
Yep.
True. That should be a mode in Black Ops 2. One person uses the touchscreen and just touches the enemies, and that'll be like
co-op.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or actually, just one person aims. In other words, the other person holds down the trigger. I can do that. All right. So why is Balloon Trip Breeze great?
Because it is Balloon Fight.
Okay.
But with awesome touchscreen controls that they show off the basic capability of the touchscreen, which is hey, you can use it to move things. Which great. In this case, you use it to control wind, which controls your little Mii on the balloons. And they brought the fish back. They brought everything that made Balloon Fight great.
Like everything that was in Balloon Fight.
Yes, everything that was
in Balloon Fight.
Yes, these are the things. They're here, and it's I don't know, just a lot of fun. It's really simple. It would be great if they can expand out a little more and like release maybe a sequel to this as a download.
DLC.
Or DLC.
DLC.
DLC attractions.
I would buy Balloon
Fight
DLC.
That's not going
to
happen.
I keep coming back to that game. I just wish I didn't have to pop in the Nintendo Land disc to play it, because so far that's all I've really wanted to keep her playing.
Yeah.
Again, not having touched the multiplayer stuff yet. But
yeah.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff, what is your favorite game?
I apologize.
Metroid Blast.
Why?
Why is that?
Tell us.
Because you can shoot things in the head?
Tell us.
Is it because you're hardcore?
No, I just...
Because I'm told that the game is hardcore.
It is. By the game.
Oh, really?
The game tells you that it is hardcore.
Oh.
Monita tells us it's very hardcore.
Monita. Is there a minigame where you can shoot Monita? Is it
secret? I like Monita.
Yeah.
I like
Monita. Monita tells us lots of things.
I know. I like her. I think she's kind of funny.
I'm fine with her, except for when she talks.
I like her voice. It's like Animal Crossing speak, but she actually speaks English.
Right, which makes it way worse.
No, but it's like, you know, when you heard on Animal Crossing for the first, I don't know.
Seriously, if there were a checkbox in the menu where I could just make her say, then I'd do that.
You're really good at that. Thank you. Do you do the voices?
We'll leave that for next year.
Okay. But honestly, I think it's, you know, when you turn on the first Animal Crossing for the first time, I think I don't know, I don't remember if it's in the other ones or not, but it says Nintendo, but it's like in English, but it's Nintendo. It's also yes, that's it. Yep. That's what her voice sounds like.
It randomly does it in the voices that are in the game.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, so Jeff, Metroid Blast.
This was actually one of the only ones I did two player.
Yeah.
It just felt really good having interaction between the Wiimote player and the gamepad player.
Yeah, I think the best part of that game is it really is deep in the amount of modes that you have. Like the mission mode where you all work together is kind of lame. I mean, it's fun, but it's kind of limiting because there's a limited amount of modes and just generally you'll play through it. But
yeah,
like free for all is, I mean, whatever. It's like it's an arena first person, like a third person shooter.
Yeah.
And then the four against the ship is pretty great. Especially, I mean, you have to make sure that the person with the ship isn't just totally not very good because it won't be very long to, but like,
yeah, that's true for all of them.
Trying to like hide in the ship, which is totally a thing that you try to do, even though you're a big ship in the sky. I don't know. There's just a lot of depth to that. And I think that will be the thing I keep coming back to play. With people who've played before. Whereas the rest of the disc, I think, is great for like, hey, let me show this thing to you.
Yeah, I've played most of them alone. However, I think the whole Nintendo Land experience is better with co-op.
Yeah.
It's kind of
co-op or competitive even. But.
Yeah. So I will go ahead and get my favorite game out of the way. It's Mario Chase.
Really? Not the Luigi's Mansion one?
No, because with that, I think I played so much Pac-Man Versus. It's a very good game. Yeah. So I'm not gonna I played so much Pac-Man Versus that I think the Mario Chase thing is the most interesting. Mario, my friends and I have played a lot. Mario has never won, ever. but there have been times where Mario stuck it out, like, until the last minute. I don't know, there's something about that, like, the fact that the players can work together and there are little ledges for them to kind of get a lookout, and
there's
a lot of depth to that game, and that
sounds like the most promising one besides the Luigi's Mansion one.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, when you lose, it's okay because then it shows the replay of where you were and where everybody else was, and everybody gets to see like your maneuver.
Like, oh, like I was so close to you.
Yeah, and then like that was the part where you messed up. Yep. Like, I shouldn't have hesitated right there. But I don't know. There's a lot to that that's just really, really interesting in a way that I don't think a game has been before to me. Anyway, Sean, what is your favorite game?
Mine is a tie between Mario Chase and Luigi's Mansion.
Well, then let's talk about Luigi's Ghost Mansion then.
All right. Luigi's Ghost Mansion is a ton of fun because it's basically hide and seek.
Yep.
Only you can't see the person you're seeking. Unless you hit them with a flashlight.
Yep.
Have you never played hide and seek with ghosts? It's fun.
Yeah.
I never find them.
Well, I mean, you just gotta go around. You remember that paradox I was talking about earlier with the time travel?
Yeah.
Our old writers tend to hang around there.
Yeah.
Like ghosts.
So I need a flashlight. I need to find one of them.
Yeah, just shine it on your computer screen if they're stuck in your computer.
Right. Yeah. I think
they'll go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. The ghost doesn't usually win.
No. No, it doesn't. But it's okay.
However, when you're playing with less than five people, Monita is some of the people that is looking for the ghost.
So you're saying if I don't play with five people, more people will be Monita.
Yes.
There's more Monita in that game.
She doesn't talk, though.
Okay. Maybe I'm right with that.
Also, you can't catch her, unfortunately. I know. I tried that.
Strangle and kill.
Yes, I almost lost. I pretty much lost the first game I played as the ghost because I kept trying to capture Monita.
Yeah.
Yes. Whenever a flashlight would die, I would sneak up on her and I'd go right through her.
Yep.
Bonita is better than ghosts.
Okay. There's no ghost in that machine.
Hey.
Okay. Let's talk about another game. Hey, Jeff, you been playing anything else?
Zombie U and New Super Mario Brothers U.
Okay, so tell us about Zombie U.
Please do.
How many times have you died?
Oh, too many.
Yeah,
but that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah,
I've heard its comparisons to Dark Souls and just also roguelikes in general. Convince me that this copy I have sitting here is worth something.
Well, one thing I do really like about it is that it just changes everything that we usually took for granted in most other zombie games. Mostly all about the death mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you die, or even if you're bitten, you become a zombie. And then you're playing another survivor. And you can find your former self and kill them and take all of the stuff that you had.
And I think...
is the similarity to Dark Souls.
Yeah. That's what I keep hearing, yeah. And I think the part about it, the fact that, you know, even small zombie encounters, you can get overwhelmed easily. Like, we've taken this stuff for granted, yeah, because, like
it's...
Go ahead. Yeah.
Like, zombies are dangerous. They're evil and they're dangerous.
I've heard that.
And they want your brains?
Yes, they do want your brains.
Okay.
But, like, aside from that, there are a few things. Like, if you're using your gamepad to enter in a code or something, zombies can still sneak up on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you use the gamepad to turn around and look behind you. You can check and stuff. But...
I think stuff like that is great. I think, like, the fact that you have to check your inventory and the gamepad, so it means you're taking your eyes off the screen as your character is literally taking their eyes off their, you know, their environment.
The game still runs.
Yeah.
So
there's no pausing, I take it. So it's always going, right?
Yeah.
I assume there's an actual pause function, but besides that, like, when you're getting your inventory and stuff.
Like, you can't, your inventory isn't a pause or checking stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more survivor horror than it is action. Like, a lot of what they showed originally made it look like an action game, but it's a lot more about survival.
And I think survival horror games, I mean, like, traditional survival horror games, not like Dead Space or Resident Evil. I think that's kind of why we're getting such mixed reviews, is because either A, people don't know what to expect from this game, And it turns out better or worse than what they may have expected, or B, it's just something that we haven't seen much of lately, aside from stuff like Amnesia, which is also something that's really different.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, if you try and play it like a Resident Evil, you will just continually lose and become frustrated with it.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And I can imagine even something like Dead Island, which, you know, is more Borderlands than anything kind of style horror.
Zombie Borderlands.
Yeah, exactly. Which I've heard some people compare, like, the melee system and stuff to Dead Island, just in the fact that there's not a lot of ammo, so you have to focus on melee a lot.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just keep things rolling. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, New Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
That game is Mario.
No way.
Oh, yes way.
Are you sure?
No! Get the... No wah-wahs. I don't want any wah-wahs in this Skype call.
Okay.
I don't want any... Nope.
Okay, we can stop talking about it and then talk about the Wawa Plaza.
You know, I go to a Wawa almost every single day for drinks on the way to work.
That was terrible. You should feel bad for that one.
I don't at all.
Wah-wah.
Exactly. I do like that you've replied to a couple of my posts, which is wah. like you have nothing better to say.
I'm just trolling.
I don't know what that sound is.
I don't have a yet on Miiverse. Yes on my profile. Zero yes.
I have like six.
I know.
And I've said stupid things like banana.
That's why I'm trying to say wah so that people will say wah.
Because nobody. That's why you're not getting yes, because nobody likes the wah wahs. It's true. Also, Sean, you should just pop in New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
It's in right now. I was about to play it when you guys said, "Hey, let's get on the Skype and talk."
Yes, on the Skype. Yes, but you should play it and just, like, play any level for, like, 2 minutes. Not even. A minute. Less than a minute. You'll hear it. And you'll see the flowers move, and you'll see the Koopa Troopers.
Yeah, I don't want to...
Koopa Troopers.
I don't even... Koopa I can't even count the amount of
They're
times.
They're pretty good troopers.
Koopa Troopas? Are they just all Koopa from Paper Mario?
Are they Koopas, or are they Koopas?
I'd play that game. I'd play
did
the
I
game.
Did I actually say that? I don't remember what I said, no. I swear.
The number...
First you said Koopa Troopers, then you said Koopa Troopas.
So
and I liked Koopa Troopas because that's better.
Missing
because it has Koopa in it.
Yeah, you know what also doesn't have Koopa in it? Paper Mario sticker star.
Oh,
is that what got rid of one of the stars off the review?
We don't give stars. Give points.
What about stickers?
As soon as I Photoshop up star ratings, then they'll be stars. But there until then, they're just points.
Sticker stars? Will you actually be physically removing and adding stars?
I think so.
You should. But yeah. But besides the Wattwise, yes. I really like New Super Mario Brothers U. And I never played the 3DS one that came out this year, which I think a lot of people who've played that and also go to play New Super Mario Brothers U are kind of like, yeah, this is more of the same. So for someone who hasn't played one of these since the Wii version back in, 2009, I am having a ton of fun with it. And I think, you know, it kind of sucks that there really isn't anything to do with the gamepad aside from multiplayer stuff.
Okay, so why is it so fun? Why is it so fun?
Oh God, I can't answer these questions with these wah-wahs. I'm sorry.
Why not?
Is this turning into is this turning into a hostile wah environment?
I think so. Yeah, the wahs have gone hostile. Yeah.
Yeah, I declare wah.
Oh no!
It's a wah declaration.
If you don't just title this podcast "Wah Wah," I'm gonna be very disappointed.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Okay, but it's still fun because it's still Mario, and its core Mario is still a lot of fun. Like,
is Luigi in it?
He's in it. If you use the super gun, it has taunted me many.
How about
times.
Toads? Toads in it?
There are many toads.
Okay. Peach is Peach in this game.
Peach gets kidnapped.
How about Wario?
Technically, Waluigi?
Waluigi. Technically, Peach does not get kidnapped.
Wait, she doesn't?
She went along willingly.
Did she? I don't remember.
She doesn't go anywhere.
I don't remember the intricate... Oh, yeah, that's right, she's in her castle. Well, I mean, so her castle gets kidnapped.
Again? Bowser just sort of takes over the castle.
So, that's different. That's a twist on the formula right there.
Yeah.
He smacks Mario, Luigi, and two toads away.
It should be noted that he does not take over the castle until after you beat the first world. Or the first level, I guess.
So it's your fault.
Ever do the first level, he doesn't take over the castle.
If you don't play the game, aside from maybe like the challenge stuff.
Yeah.
That's you're safe.
The Koopa Troopas and the Goombas in the first level are trying to warn you. But you don't understand.
Make him mad.
They communicate in the only way they know, which is wah wah, and that's it. You didn't translate it right.
That's why.
Stay away.
I knew I should have learned Japanese. I understood the wah wahs.
How many times have you missed a jump because of the wah wahs?
Never, thankfully. The wah wahs have not killed me yet, but you know I wouldn't be surprised.
When you're about to land on a guy and then wah wah, and then you don't. You don't hit them.
It's just saying I just get so irrationally angry at it, I just fall off. Now it makes sense. No, that hasn't happened, although I think that happened in one of the previous ones several times. It hasn't happened to me yet, because I have learned the ways of the Wah-Wahs. So I have learned the Wahs. I'm not a master, but I'm getting there.
Okay.
But yeah, it's more Mario. It's a lot of fun. Co-op is still just what is going on? Everyone's jumping on everyone. I'm gonna be in the minority. I kind of wish there was like maybe some option to turn off hit detection so you can jump through people, and maybe that would make it less crazy. Which sometimes less crazy.
No, they just need to put the word co-op in quotes.
Co-op. Wop.
I don't think that one worked, man.
I got one. You collect one-ups.
Okay, no.
No.
Okay. Don't give up your day job, man.
Because I can't figure it out. Hey, yeah. This is still better than any of the ones you said, Sean.
Yeah, actually. I wasn't going to say anything.
I think it's the best one yet. Again, this is having not played the new Super Mario Bros. 2, which I'm still gonna say it. This is the best one yet. It's
I have played New Super Mario Bros. 2, and it is the best one yet.
Thank you. Second opinion. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. Right now I'm in the cloud world, which is actually really cool. So spoilers, there's a cloud world.
The other important thing to note is the worlds are all connected.
Yes, and there's secret exits. Lots of them. Lots and lots of them. Especially in the yes. All right.
There you got one.
There you go. You got a verbal block. Yeah.
Okay.
We should move on.
All right.
Pause, drive us insane.
All right. So what else have you guys been playing?
Well, I played about 5 minutes of Epic Mickey 2, but it's probably not enough to talk about it.
Okay. Well, I've played...
So, go through your stack of games, Graham, because I know you have a lot.
Okay, so I'm going to name all of the games that I have.
Okay.
I will go ahead and say that Black Ops 2, Transformers Prime, and Scribblenauts Unlimited are not open.
Okay.
Not gotten to those yet.
Wow. Transformers Prime, too?
Yeah. Anyway. But so, I have been playing, well, Nintendo Land, New Super Mario Bros. U, but... Besides that, I have been playing Madden and FIFA and Warriors Orochi 3 and Tank and Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. Those are in basically exactly reverse order of how good they are.
Oh, okay.
Wait, depending on where I put FIFA.
You put FIFA after Madden.
Okay, put it after Warriors Orochi 3.
Okay, so Madden, Warriors Orochi, then FIFA.
Then
Tank, and then Sonic.
All-Stars Racing Transformed. Yes.
All right, cool. So FIFA and Madden pretty much the same, just with maybe gamepad stuff?
Madden is basically the same. You can do a little bit of touchscreen play calling. You can play on the gamepad, but only if you start the game in gamepad mode, which is not great. They've taken out a couple of the online features. I don't believe there's Ultimate Team, but anyway.
It wouldn't be an EA Sports game on a new console.
Yeah.
Missing features.
Well, they don't have the Infinity Engine either.
Okay. Yeah, that's
true. This is like a better system, theoretically. But they do have like touchscreen hot routes.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, a lot of it is very similar to the Vita version in that they took the game, took out the Infinity Engine, added touchscreen hot routes.
Is it better than the Vita version?
Yes.
Okay.
But because the system is able to handle like the Madden 12 engine, unlike the Vita, which really just can't quite handle the
moment. I kind of have the feeling that they wanted to get that out at the launch and also before the football season is over.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. They do that all the time. And again, it's not the worst thing. It's just there's no reason to buy it if you can buy it on another system.
Yeah. And I get the feeling you won't have much luck finding people to play online.
Not that many, especially you won't be able to get your 32-person connected careers unless you happen to coordinate with all your friends who really love Madden, but not enough to pick it up before late November.
Jeez.
So,
yeah. All 32 of them.
Yeah, I mean, it still has that stuff. FIFA is better. FIFA does a lot of interesting things with the gamepad. Whenever you're playing, it allows you to either do touchscreen passing to specific people or substitute or look through menus. There's a whole like subset of things you can do on the gamepad, and that's really cool.
Is that all like stuff you can – I mean, I know you haven't played the Vita version particularly, but
– Yeah, Sean played the Vita version. I don't think any of this is really in there because it's all secondary. It's not like an overlay to the game. It's like a whole menu. Whole menu of options, and that part's interesting. The most interesting thing to me, and Sean, I don't know if this was in. There's manager mode. Sean, was that in the other console versions of FIFA?
For like the regular season career thing.
No, for
or a completely different mode.
Anytime you play a game, you can play it in manager mode. I believe this is Wii U specific.
Yeah, and I didn't see it in any of them.
Instead of playing it. Like instead of playing it normally, you can tell when to like tell your players when to pass. But generally, what you're doing is you're managing your players, you're managing your formations, you're managing substitutions, and you're kind of controlling the flow of the game and moving up various defenses and that sort of stuff. That part's interesting. And then what's, I think, the coolest is that when you play, like, I think just locally, I'm not sure if you can play them online. I haven't played enough of FIFA yet, but how well over the next few days. That you can, one player can play on the gamepad as the manager while four people are the players on the team, and you can all work together and play at the same time.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah. Like, it's an interesting idea for the game, which is way more than I can say for Madden. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, I mean, this is probably a better version than the regular Wii version.
Oh, this is absolutely a better version than the regular Wii version.
Which is just,
but I would even venture to say, unless you're trying to do, like, an online league of some sort, FIFA for the Wii U is better than FIFA for the 360 and PS3. Like, it runs really smoothly, it has extra features, and otherwise it's the exact same game. So, that's nice.
And you know what's interesting? It was made by the same company that did Madden.
Yep.
Why they would choose to go all out for that one and not the other one makes no sense.
Well, there are a lot of reasons for that. Mainly dealing with Madden only being affected by the American market, and by being really, really affected by seasons. I think, you know, one, FIFA's global, and two, it's less likely to be only core gamers playing FIFA in that way. Like, people may be into FIFA, but, you know, not necessarily into having an Xbox Live Gold subscription, say. Yeah. And then, you know, then there's that whole thing where, like, soccer kind of is always happening.
I can see that.
That helps. But yeah, so that's FIFA. I haven't played so much of FIFA yet, but I'm getting in there. Yep.
Warriors Orochi, still Warriors Orochi.
It's still Warriors Orochi. They added a dual mode, which I have talked to my Warriors loving friends. Apparently this was a thing that was in some previous installment at some point.
I love that you have I love that you have friends, like multiple friends who love the series.
Yes, yes I do.
Well, one of them is named Chris.
I didn't talk to
him. All right.
Okay.
But no, I mean, honestly, I have a couple guys I grew up with who just like one of my friends, I believe, has beaten every Dynasty Warriors and Warriors Orochi game. I don't think he's beaten all the Samurai Warriors because, you know, but
do all like the XLs and Empires, do those count too?
Yeah.
What about the Gundams?
I'll have to ask him about the Gundams. I know he's beaten one of them. But anyway, so they've added in this like dual mode, which basically kind of turns it into like a 2D fighter. Card-based fighting game.
Card-based?
You equip special abilities.
I was about to say, sounds like the original Dynasty Warriors, but I guess not.
That's what I was going to say, and then the card game came out.
When you play through the campaign, you unlock these. I mean, it's basically like little boosts. It's kind of like mods for like one-on-one hand-to-hand combat. I don't know. It's a little strange. They've also added like a handful more characters. Like, hey, did you want a couple more people from Ninja Gaiden in the game? Because I think they're
are like there Nintendo characters?
They are not any Nintendo characters in this game. As I can tell,
you can't kill people with Link.
That said, there are a lot of Samurai Warriors characters, and most of the Samurai Warriors games these days are on Nintendo systems exclusively. At least the last Chronicles on the 3DS and 3 on the Wii. It's not, you know, first party characters, but it's clearly pledging its allegiance. And also, you know, Ninja Gaiden 3 was published by Nintendo on Wii U. So does that make it a Nintendo system? I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, so Warriors Orochi 3 is still Warriors Orochi 3. There's not much I can talk about there.
Okay, Graham.
Yep.
Tank.
Yes.
So this is a
game.
This is an arcade game that was ported to the Wii U.
Yes.
And it's $60.
It's $50.
It's $50. Still.
Here's the thing I'm going to say about this game.
Okay.
But first of all, I will admit, the single player, pretty bad. There's a campaign mode, and they try to take a game that is not going to be very good in single player and make it at least somewhat interesting. The multiplayer is just basically an arcade game, and you have like regular bullets, and you pick up special power ups. In the campaign mode, you go through increasingly difficult enemies, but you unlock and choose different tanks that like basically they make certain special weapons spawn, and they have like some are, you know, some have weaker armor and some have
do more damage and that kind of thing. Some are a little faster. So that's not in the multiplayer game at all. I wish it was, but they do some interesting things there. But the multiplayer modes are just straight up arcade, like, fun. They're not that deep. If you haven't played Tank Tank Tank, it's a spiritual sequel to like a 90s arcade game, Tokyo Wars. But anyway, it you just go around, you're in a tank, and you shoot stuff, and you can shoot other, you can like go like a free for all. You can do team battles, or you can fight these big monsters. And like the main thing is fight these big monsters, but there are a lot of things in this game that, like, if you really want to get into the free for all play, that could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But this
seems like a game that would be great as a download, I think.
I've heard that. And I don't disagree.
I think if this was even just like $20 as a download, I would buy it just for the multiplayer, because that sounds really interesting. But I need to put more time
into it.
But
I'll say this: one, the My Kong mode that they've added now, where one player on the gamepad gets to control the big monster and everybody else fights it.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Pretty
that
sounds, fun.
Yeah.
The My Kong mode. We have not yet been able to defeat the Kong we've been playing, but it's just a lot of fun to, like, you know, take on those challenges. That part's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most important factor, and what I've been trying to keep in mind in this review, is that it costs $8 to play the game at the arcade.
$8.
$8. Well, because it's $2 to play for four people, and if you don't play with four people, you're not really playing the game.
Okay.
I mean, well, just you're just not. Like, it's
so you need so you technically need to be playing Tank 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 Tank.
Also Monster. Yes.
And Monster.
The game is fun enough to where you'll want to, like, if you consider it $8 a play, you get more than $50 out of it.
Oh yeah. I can understand.
And so that part, and like, it's definitely a thing. You get people together and you play as a party. I mean, it's not a deep single player experience. It's not going to be, but at least the campaign allows you to kind of figure out power ups, and that mm-hmm. you know, that part's kind of interesting. It's certainly not a graphical powerhouse in any way, but I mean, it's crisp. You know, it runs in at least 720p. I don't, you know, I'm not paying that much attention because it's Tank Tank Tank. But I haven't had someone play it and not have fun. I could get more complicated than that, but that's the name of the game, folks.
No, the name of the game is Tank Tank Tank.
Right. Got me there.
It sounds neat. I'll probably wait for, if I'm ever going to play it, I'll probably wait for a price drop, which I will be surprised. It'll happen soon. So.
Yeah.
But it sounds better than it did at E3 when it just seemed like.
Well,
you know,
it's just a random, no one knew what the heck it was, caps game title in the middle of Darkseid, Batman, Tank, sold, Tank, what?
Which sold you, I'm sure, but me, I'm just like,
I found out about it. I did. I paid $8 to play, too. I played it twice. It was expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, it's just an arcade game. It's a fun arcade game.
I like fun arcade games. Yeah. So last but not least, this is on my list of games to get. I just haven't had a chance to pick it up yet.
Please pick it up on the Wii U.
I'm going to, so we can play online.
Yes.
I don't know if it'll happen anytime soon, but it'll happen very.
I will still be playing this game.
Okay, good. All right, I'll probably get it sometime next week.
This game is super good.
So better than the original? Yes or no?
Yes, better than the original. The original had a lot of issues.
Okay,
but it had a lot of issues.
So what does it improve upon? That's mostly what I want to know.
So I'm just going to go down the list because
a list. You have a list. Excellent.
Yes. I have mostly written this review. It'll go up later this week.
Okay.
So the tracks. More varied. The first game had a lot of stuff where it was like, well, here are like the four tracks based in the zombie mansion. Like, great.
Yep.
So they're a lot more varied. There aren't, as far as I can tell, there aren't tracks that are really the same track. though there are reverse versions of all the tracks, if you want to count that. The tracks themselves are varied within the race.
Okay.
Because, as I'm sure you know, there are boats and planes in this thing.
Yes.
So there are air segments and water segments.
Their cars transformed.
But so the air segments, I don't know if you ever got to play. I talked about this last year. There's a game, Skydrift, that was a downloadable that was trying to be like a kart racer but with planes.
I tried it. I just thought it was okay.
Yeah, but the one thing that game did pretty well was the flying, making it more like a racing game. You know, like it wasn't like flight simulator flying, but it still felt like a plane.
Mm-hmm.
This game does that, but better. So it's a lot more forgiving, which is what it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
It does an interesting thing where if you're in the air, you're going slightly faster than if you're on the ground or in the water. So not only are there like shortcuts, but there are quasi shortcuts that are like little ramps on the side you can check to get up in the air faster, like earlier than you would otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Like that makes for interesting things. Also, as the race goes on, the track kind of like degrades or changes or flips or does something. So there will be segments where you'll drive across a track in the first lap, but then sometime before the third lap, that area will just completely crumble, and then it's an air section.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of cool stuff like that. The cars are kind of, I mean, the handling feels a lot more like Blur.
That's good.
Smoother, better. the lead designer of Blur came to work for them, and there's a lot of that. The weapons have been balanced a lot more for skill. The big bad blue shell equivalent is a swarm of V's, which is a lot like a lot like the thing in Blur, but it like they're up in the air, so that the weapon will work.
That's terrifying.
In the air. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Bees are terrifying.
Bees are terrifying. I agree, but you can avoid them and like.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, so like it does that, so it's not an auto kill or anything. And then they have these like snowballs, which are basically equivalent to like the bolt shots from Blur, and then it's a straightforward projectile, but it's like really fast and weak, but like there's skill to it as opposed to kind of like shooting like your standard green shell, where it's like, well, maybe it'll get there by the time they turn. So that part just seems really responsive. The racing is really smooth, even in like five player with the person on the gamepad playing online. Like that's ridiculous that is able to do that.
The online itself is fine too.
The online itself is fine so far. I mean, it's really early in the system. So I don't think everybody's finished with their system update. So it's still not a crazy amount of people online, but it's nice and smooth. The career mode is basically the best. Instead of having like the sequential challenges like the first game, there is a whole Grand Prix mode if you just want to play it straight up Mario Kart style. You get trophies, you unlock some things. But then the whole challenges mode, there are races, there are there are the silly little challenges where like hit all these boosts and get there in this amount of time, but there are also battle races, which are basically like Death Rally, where everybody has like 3 health.
Uh-huh.
And you're just trying to like eliminate everybody else. There are like one-on-one kind of like elimination rally challenges where like in the next 30 seconds, by the end of 30 seconds, be far enough ahead of this person, and then like somebody else will spawn, and like it's like a I don't know, they change up the challenges in single player in a way that's really satisfying.
Uh-huh.
And again, you can play through, and they have branching paths there. You can't really get stuck on anything. You can play each challenge on like easy, medium, or hard, and like like any of the stupid, dumb challenges you just want to get past, you can just play them on easy. Or if you fail 3 times on easy, you can just skip it.
Maybe it's because I've been playing a lot of choice-driven games lately, but when you said branching paths, I thought moral choices, and I was like,
"Not moral choices." I don't think.
Who knows?
I have not 100% of this game, but I don't think there are moral choices.
That would be amazing, though.
And then you know the fact that you can play through all of this multiplayer, and like if you're sitting around with friends, and it's like, "Well, just we'll race for a while. That's fun."
Yeah.
Maybe we'll race online. Is it fun? But yeah. Like, if you have people that are around, like, let's get through some of this stuff for the next few hours. Like, let's race these races and like accomplish something that you're capable to, you know, you can do that. The more you use each character, you can level them up to level 5.
Hmm.
I believe 5, maybe 6, to unlock different mods for the character, which they don't get stronger, but you can choose like whether you want them to be like a version of them that is better at acceleration or a version of them that is better at boosts.
So if you have like a specific character you like, even though you don't exactly like playing as them, you can level them up to make them play more towards your style.
You can, yeah, more towards it. Like it doesn't turn every character into any stat you want.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's able to moderate that. The cap is low enough to where you finish up with someone and then you're like, I should try someone else.
Okay.
The character selection is really cool. They've dropped a couple people from the first game, but they have set up for DLC.
I
believe every Wii U copy of the game has Metal Sonic.
Okay, good. I want Rystar DLC.
I don't think that's gonna happen because he's the flagman.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's in every race. Everybody sees him every time.
That's what they did to Knights in the first game, and now Knights is in the game, and now so we have to wait for the third game.
Maybe next time, but I mean, hey, for stars in this game at all, just an impression.
That's great. I didn't even know that. That's actually pretty awesome.
So, like some of the characters, I don't want to spoil too many of them, but some of the early unlocks, like you get Vise from Skies of Arcadia.
Yes.
There's a super weird final unlock character.
How like weird is it, like from an obscure Sega game, or weird is it from something that
weird? I will say it is from one Sega game, another Sega game, and then a console. The transforming turns into three separate characters, one of which, look, I'm gonna spoil it because it's
okay. So please weird. Do tell me, because I was gonna look it up after this.
So
anyway.
The car is the car from Daytona.
Okay.
Saturn-style, low-res polygons.
That's awesome. So I'm sold already.
Yeah, the plane is the Raptor from Afterburner.
Oh, my God.
And the boat is just a straight-up Dreamcast controller.
That is awesome.
you turn around backwards so that, like, the points go forward, and it's just a Dreamcast controller.
That's awesome.
Okay, that's
ages, because Sega ages. This is
who's the actual character? Is it just, like...
There's not... I mean...
It's just a car.
The Dreamcast controller. There's nothing in the VMU slot, so I don't think anyone could be in there.
Yeah, so it's just a vehicle that has a mind of its own.
Yeah, but like for example, when you're a plane and you land back and you're in your car, it like has the pit guy talking to you again, and it's like
that's awesome. That's great. Like,
what is this? But also, this is the best thing.
Honestly, if I was convinced
it's
to buy that,
a little
that
spoiled
game,
because the loading screen says like F-22 Hornet or whatever the plane is. Like,
that could be the best vehicle in kart racing games in general.
Yeah, I believe it's the kart racing equivalent of fighting as a car.
Yes,
like it's that level of yes, I want this thing.
Like I was just about to say, if I wasn't sold in this game already, that would have been the thing that sold me.
So I'm gonna be playing this for a while, and then when you pick it up, we should play it. But
yes, we will.
I don't know what else I can say to get you guys to buy this game. Just seriously,
it's only $40.
$40.
It's only $40.
It is to me. I need to play a little more New Super Mario Brothers U. But it is arguably the best launch game on the system.
That sounds awesome. It's
$40.
$40.
It even if you don't have a Wii U, you know what? Get the PS3 or 360.
Yeah, PS3, 360 version. Is there a PC version at all?
There is a PC version. I don't think it's out yet, but it's coming. And then there's a 3DS version, which is a completely different game somehow. They've like made a different game. I don't know. The Vita version is a port. I don't know how good that is, but. Yeah.
I can't wait to play this. I'm really excited.
Yeah. All right. So now that
I want this game now.
In a row.
so yeah,
sounds
pretty
amazing.
Much, Graham has played all of the Wii U games. We've only played a few, but
we have some more to get to.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Like I said,
some of the downloadables we really want to get to. Chasing Aurora is definitely something we're gonna cover in the next couple weeks.
I bought a copy of Little Inferno. I don't know when I'll have a chance to play it, but it's something I need to play because
probably before Graham can.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
yeah. As long as I don't open my door and find like the entire Ubisoft line up there.
I want to know what the Nano Assaults.
Yes.
Isn't that based on like a DS series that was not super popular?
It has a huge following.
Okay.
Or a hugely passionate following.
Okay.
It's
I play the first one.
Shinin does these games, and I believe I've talked this year about some of their more offbeat stuff, like fun mini golf touch.
Yeah.
They do some weird stuff, but their most successful thing is their shooters. They were the people who made Iridian back in the Game Boy Advance. Then they've been making basically anything with Nano in its title. Nano Stray, Nano Breaker, Nano Assault. That's the most recent one. So Nano Assault Neo is like a new version of that.
So it's a pretty similar game to those other Nanos.
Yeah, but from what I've heard, they're doing a really good job making it look gorgeous on the hardware. They did a good job with WiiWare making it look interesting. I mean, like, admittedly, the standards were kind of low, but they had some interesting like water effects and things like that.
And I haven't played the specific version, but I can safely recommend trying to if you're looking, especially if you're looking for a great co-op game, because that game is a lot of fun and it has I think DLC, so
yeah,
great stuff.
Yeah, so there's definitely some stuff, and we'll circle back to it when we get some more time with it. But I just wanted to kind of let you guys know there's some good stuff on the system. There's some frustrating stuff on the system, but there's a lot on the system.
Yeah, it is a hefty launch lineup.
Is a launch lineup.
Yes, and soon enough,
you guys remember the last time that a home console released? You know what company released that one?
Well, next year we'll get more, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously, Nintendo released two home consoles in a row, you guys.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
Why was there not a new Xbox?
Because of the Kinect. Blame the Kinect.
I have no problem blaming the Kinect.
Okay. But I think, you know, soon enough we'll be ranking launch lineups, so
yes.
Who knows where the Wii U will fall. I'm thinking near the top of the list, or at least the top half.
Above the Intellivision. Spoilers.
Safe to say.
But above the Intellivision.
I might have to put it above the Atari 2600 too.
I don't know.
It's debatable. I think
combat's pretty good game.
It is.
What about that Sega?
Well, we got Tank, man.
True.
I have a point. It's kind of like combat.
It is.
Yeah.
And it also has a giant monster. Combat doesn't have a giant monster.
Combat 2 doesn't either.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's right.
Yeah, I know. It had destructible environments, though. But so does Tank. Yep.
So, yes.
You may have swayed me on that one.
I am sold.
Okay. All right.
But thumbs up on the Wii U, I think, from all of us overall.
Yeah. There are issues it has, but this is a thing you should experience now and should own later, because clearly there's going to be like a Zelda on it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, it's
clearly.
Every time something launches, whether it's console or handheld, there are problems. This thing has problems, but
yeah,
you know, even if you don't get it right now, you should definitely be getting it within the next year. I think this time next year it'll have a hopefully really strong lineup of both first and third party games.
Yeah.
So,
but I think we should safely say try to get the deluxe if you can.
Yes, definitely. I mean, getting the basic isn't the end of the world if storage is your problem, because you know.
Yeah. I mean, you can spend that $50 on an external, but Nintendo Land seems worth it.
Yes, Nintendo Land's pretty cool.
I like the vertical stand. That's pretty good.
I can't use it sadly, but it seems.
I like the charging stand for the gamepad.
Yes.
That is the best thing.
I have the charging stand and the stand. And the stand is where I put it on the table, and the charging stand is where I put it.
Yeah, that's exactly how I have it too.
Yeah, it's the best thing. Nintendo gets it.
If I had a third stand, I'd put that somewhere else in the room. I don't know where, but
they get anything that doesn't require an internet connection.
Yeah, exactly.
I know exactly what to do.
This is the first console to ship with an HDMI cable in Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is their first HD console, and they were actually smart enough to ship with an HDMI cable.
Yeah, the second one will be the Ouya.
Yeah,
that's factually correct.
Yes, I know. At least Graham will be getting that, so we will have some coverage of the Ouya.
Yeah, we have, I believe, 5 guys getting that thing.
Jeez, sorry.
4. I canceled mine.
Really?
Oh.
I didn't have the money when it went final, so I had to cancel it.
Oh well.
Well, you could always pre-order it.
It was either that or.
You don't need food.
How much? Yeah.
Video games.
I don't need food.
Yes. All right.
But how much is the Ouya? Just before we go, I just want to know.
$100.
$100.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe I'll
talk about it again when
we'll talk about it again.
Is available. But yeah. All right. So we will be back next week with more talk, more on our normal episode.
That's pretty much every other game that we didn't talk about today.
Yeah, all we of have November. A lot of catching up to do. Yeah. Basically, all of the games.
Yeah, all of them.
But we'll head out for now, and I'll keep writing reviews for Sean and Andrew and Jeff. I'm Graham. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter at snackbargames.